What's going on, you guys? It's another episode of the Bigamax Radio Podcast. Not too sure if you guys have noticed anything, but obviously there's been some changes lately as far as some of the audio that we're posting and how we're moving forward. And we are absolutely moving forward. Bigamax Radio cranking out the jams. Over 1,000 episodes have been put on iTunes, Spotify, and also available on BigamaxRadio.com. Been doing this for 10 years, and we're just getting started, baby. Before we roll into this podcast, I want to thank a few people for making this these episodes possible. Checkers over at Racetech, Chris Riesenberg, honestly, one of the best people I've ever met in the industry. Just so generous and like gives advice. And anytime I need to talk to somebody, he is always there. And of course, Racetech Gold Valves, it's basically a revalve in a box. They also do engines. So if you happen to be tuning up an engine for Loretta's, you might want to talk to the friends over at Racetech. Also want to give a huge shout out to Steve Street over at Money Inc. Those guys are a brand new sponsor of the Bigamax Radio Podcast. We're going to be doing some really exciting things with those guys moving forward. Same thing with the Shoals MX. Those guys are huge supporters of Bigamax Radio, and I'm a huge supporter of them. Those are amazing people who do amazing work down in South Carolina. Looking forward to heading down there to see Stu Baylor and the entire Rocky Mountain Red Bear Kawasaki team in short order. I want to give a huge shout out to Backyard Designs, Jared Hicks over at Backyard Designs. Him and I have been working pretty much exclusive every single week, putting together some of the marketing campaigns that they're currently doing over at Backyard. And yeah, they're making sure that the 95 machine looks fucking sick every single time that I hit the track, which isn't enough lately, by the way. So I gotta do a little bit more than that. For those who happen to be listening to this, who deal with some arm pump, that means all of you, you'd probably benefit from some flex bars from Fast Company. They also have their spoke torque wrench, which is basically, like, it needs to be in everybody's toolbox. If you don't already have one, you probably have loose spokes, because going around the wheel with a wrench or a spoke wrench, just sort of like listening for the tone and hoping that they're all going to be similar, is not quite enough. You need to go get yourself a spoke torque wrench. And yeah, they're honestly, they're so easy to use, and you keep your wheels straight and true. Speaking of wheels, John Anderson, Kristen Anderson over at WUSA. If your wheels are super far out of whack, you can honestly just go for $850, $899. You can get yourself an Edge set of wheels. They're super durable. They're lightweight. And yeah, you're gonna have your, and you can, obviously they're gonna look sick too. Like, they got all the cool colors. You got like black wheels, silver wheels, purple wheels, gold rims, you name it. They got all different colors of nipples. Haha, I said nipples. Luxon MX, no one talk about colors. They already have a ton of cool colors. Obviously, they got Kawasaki green, blue for Yamahas, Hondas, they got red, they got orange stuff for KTMs and the Austrian brands. But if I think it's about, I think it's like $200 for the anodizing. So if you have a thought, like an idea under the sun of what you wanted to get done as far as a set of triple clamps, well, you're already going to get yourself an unbelievable set of triple clamps with going with Luxon. Of course, the Club MX team uses those guys, same with the PRMX guys. If those guys are racing Supercross with those triple clamps and the linkage components, yeah, you're probably going to be able to make it around your local track with those components. We're almost 4 minutes into this thing. We haven't even talked any about podcasts. So let's get straight to it, guys. But also want to thank Moto Coating Company for supporting this podcast. Same thing with RXR. RXR Protect, best chest protectors on the market, and you can save with the discount code BigMX Radio. Save you 10% off every single one of your purchases. Heartbeat Hot Sauce, I've said it a million times until I'm red in the face from how hot the Heartbeat Hot Sauce is. But seriously, it's unbelievable. I put this stuff on breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They got all kinds of flavors. They got super hot, they got mild, they got stuff that is a little bit sweet. Honestly, if you like hot sauce at all, they have something for you, and they're available on Amazon. So you literally have no excuse not to at least try it. Is there anyone else? Oh, Jesus. We got to talk about Guts Racing. Andy Gregg at Guts Racing. No questions asked. Every single year, he re-ups his sponsorship. Honestly, that guy is one of the first people who really like spent some money with Bigamax Radio, and I couldn't be more thankful. And they all happen to have the lightweight seat foam, the seat bases and some of the nicest looking seat covers in the sport. So Guts Racing. And last but not least is We Big Apparel. Unbelievable stuff. You've seen the Smoker Cross stuff. Emig's with those guys right now. They're turning out some cool shit. Also want to let you guys know that you can save 25% with fuelclothing.com with BigMX25 at checkout. So go ahead, guys. Use the discount codes. I should put something on the website showing all of the discount codes that BigMX Radio offers. That's maybe on the to-do list for this week. But let's get to the three podcasts that I have set and ready for this week. Hope you enjoy them. Take care. Welcome to another episode of BigMX Radio. I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, my co-host, from the GNCC booth. He's giving you all the 411 on the guys that are in the woods, getting muddy every day, and now the voice of the Bagger Series. Let's get straight to him. Zach Heron. Zach, how's it going?
What is up, man? Yeah, absolutely. If there's a starting line and a checkered flag involved, I am down to talk about it. And like you said, yeah, joining the Bagger Racing League in 2024, made the official announcement yesterday. Thank you, Rob Midas. Absolutely. Rocket Rob. And that's a pretty cool story. I didn't go into too much depth on my social media, but Rob Midas has been probably the longest friend and mentor as far as announcers goes for me in my life. Worked at Parts Unlimited, as does my father. And I remember my first pro nationals. Rob was the guy that took me around. You know, he's got the God pass. He's able to get in the rigs. 2007 kind of sticks out to me where I walk under the rig with Rob of a Pro Circuit Kawasaki team. Might have heard of him. All of a sudden, I get picked up, put on the second floor, and there is Ryan Villopoto and Ben Townley in the midst of one of the gnarliest 250 points battles in the world, chilling up there, listening to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, getting dressed for practice. I'll never forget it. Signed my hat and then told me to just chill out with them while they were getting dressed. Like, they were both so cool. And Rob's always, man.
That was just an epic season.
Dude, it's 07? Just so cool. 07 alone is badass. Ricky tossing the goggles off as he's racing because something happened. I don't remember what it was, but it was cool, man. And Rob has always been super friendly, super nice to me. And that's kind of where I got my start on the microphone, was doing little interviews with Rob. All of a sudden, I'm talking a little longer. Oh, now I'm doing a full qualifying race at the Muddy Creek National with him. Next thing you know, I'm getting to join him, not even join him in the booth, but kind of take over for him. He's wearing a lot of hats there for the Bagger Racing League. He is the mind behind the series. So
yeah, there's a ton of heavy lifting for that.
Dude, it's tough, man. I mean, to be a race promoter as well as the broadcast side of it and running all of that, it's a lot to deal with. So it means a lot that he trusted me with it. It's going to be a challenge. I'm very excited to kind of take on this new aspect of racing, similarly to what I had to do with GNCC. I grew up racing motocross, nice prep manicured tracks, go out into the woods, and it's a whole new ball game. Now, I thank God have found a series where it can rain and there's still not going to be mud. So very stoked on that end, but very excited, man. I've been watching both the 2023 and the 2022 seasons, trying to get the names figured out, yep, the race format and stuff like that. And then with this year, they've got some new classes involved. So yeah, we're going to be adding the road side of things to the BigMX Power Hour soon as well. A couple of weeks away, just about 2 weeks out in Hastings, Nebraska, we'll kick things off.
Do you remember when Racer X kind of like branched out and did a like Street Racer X, or what was, yep, it called?
I can't remember what the name of it was, but I want to say Rob was involved with that.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Like it was, I think it was maybe 1 year, but, and they had some, those were back in the day. Like I don't have one on hand right now. Back when the magazines were fucking thick as a snicker.
Yeah. Thick, like, with three C's, baby. Yeah. It was, yeah, it was the glory days of magazines. Of, yeah. It was, holy, it had shit, tons of stuff. DC and good shoes, articles too. PBS. Like you had, oh dude, DC was great. I just got a fresh set of Alpine Star shoes as my street track shoes. Yep. So I'm excited. They've got, was making bold moves, went ahead, got a little white on them so that you could see how clean I still was. So no, it's going to be exciting, man. I've got a great team behind me. Yeah, absolutely not. I'm not even taking them on the trip. Tony Tucker going to be in the booth with me. He is a longtime racer. I believe it's an injury that's kind of set him out of racing now. But you want to talk about just firsthand knowledge. Obviously, in GNCC, we've got Johnny Gallagher, who really does provide so many unique perspectives that somebody like myself can't really provide because I haven't done it. Tony's going to be doing that for Bagger Racing League. And then we've got a real nice lady by the name of Diana Dahlgren going to be doing the pit reports.
I've heard of her.
Might, Yeah, might have heard of her. So, 9-year-old Zach's pretty pumped on that. But all kidding aside, fan of her, big fan of her husband as well. And so, yeah, it's cool. I'm sure if I see a little red dot appear on my forehead, I'll know to step off. But nonetheless,
getting a little bit too excited over there.
Yeah, easy there, buddy. But it's gonna be fun, man. I'm excited. It's a brand new challenge, a kind of a fresh thing for me. So. Just keeps it exciting. Gonna add a set of leathers to the wall for the
there
next
you
one,
go. So. Yeah, maybe a little Ben Bostrom up there.
Yeah.
Maybe
a
Tommy Lee Hayden.
Yeah.
Maybe the boys back in the day. Roger Lee and Tommy Hayden. Right. Yeah, it's Tommy, Roger Lee, and of course Nikki, rest in peace. Like one of the greatest. Like, side note, like let's just get sidetracked for a second. How great were like the Two Wheel Tuesday, like that era of like Nikki Hayden, Tommy
Dude,
Lee,
I,
and his brother on the
it,
Cowies.
Man.
Like, when I always just think of like, like Nikki was always on the Hondas. He basically spent his entire career there. But the other boys were always on Cowies. The 22, I can't remember what Roger Lee's number was. But man, those are some great times. Like, you had Ben Bostrom, the coverage of it, I knew so much more about like street bike racing in the States in 2004 than I know.
I think I was talking to somebody about this the other day, because
Jake
I agree.
Semke and
I felt like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, like your diehard fans were able to tell you like who the guy was in street, who the guy was in off road, who the guy was in moto. It's also like, they only had one real outlet to watch each one of those. Whereas now it's like, dude, you can be drowned, just absolutely submerged in off-road media, and then totally underwater in motocross media. And then, you know, now this side of stuff as well. And so it's cool because we have so many unique opportunities and podcasts and videos and social media.
But it's so specialized now. Like,
it's
the modern Jake Zemke? I have no fucking clue.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, you've got something relatively new, like Bagger Racing League. And it's like, man, you've got guys that aren't street racing guys, but you know, you'll have, I believe there's a motocross racer that's kind of jumped over. And then a couple of guys that have come from the street bike side of things. And I mean, these are Harleys, Indians. Like, dude, we've got some wild racing going on in that. And I mean, if you haven't already, look at them on Facebook, man. Cause I mean, they're hauling ass. I'm talking.
Yeah, they go hard.
Buck 20 around a corner, WFO.
And they're dragging bag.
That's what I'm saying. They got two bags, one for each nut. That's how big they are to go that fast around these courses, dude. It's going to be very exciting. And, it kicks off in just a couple of weeks. So big stuff going on, man. Still rocking with the GNCC. No fear of me leaving that whatsoever. I do need my.
I know there was there was a few tense moments. People are like, oh, did we lose the guy? Is Jackson?
Dude, is it Jackson and Mikey now? No, I like a good mud bath. I need the exfoliation. It's good for good for the skin. So not going
good
anywhere
money for that.
Oh yeah. I'm rolling in it. Right. So, man, it's a love, seriously, especially with GNCC, man, the families. And, it is cool even compared to motocross, because it's, you get kids, man, you get little kids all the way up to the best of the best. And I mean, I've got the families now that have started thanking me and coming up and talking to me. And now I know these families and stuff. So not leaving GNCC until they kick me out, and still doing motocross stuff. I'll be out at Verbadilla in a couple of weeks. I'll be out at, Etchikani. Yes, Southeast Regional. That one's going to be
sick. They have good dirt, I hear.
Dude, some of the best from what I've been told. And they got some of the best riders from around what I think is the best region for Loretta's. It's going to be awesome. Honestly, I call it the mini, mini Loretta's, the Southeast Regional mini Loretta's, because
there's a ton of Southeast areas. Like, they're literally, it's almost every other weekend.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest areas as far as just quantity that comes down into it. That's why I qualified out of the Northeast, folks. So,
when I throw my hat in the ring for Loretta's, and I plan to in the plus 30 BC class, and that's going to be me all day, baby.
I'll
be heading
yet.
To Lincoln Trail for that North Central, top six advance, and there's five guys here. Let's go.
I remember 2015. I remember that we had two fully stocked qualified. Now, granted, I was in the C class, so like there's already a million people in it to begin with, but Yeah, there was like 90 people in my class at the area. Like they had almost two full rows of 42 riders. And so it's pretty insane, man. But it's the regional, I think, is one of the highest pressure moments of the entire trip to Loretta.
Gotta be.
So yeah, you gotta perform. This is it. It all comes down to this. And so it's gonna be exciting, gonna be a great weekend of racing there. But for now, yeah, just actually enjoying the weekend off. I just found out today that the local North Carolina race I was doing this weekend's been canceled. A little too much rain. And this
That
brand new
hits the
track.
pocketbook. What the fuck?
Yeah, not necessarily great for me, but God forbid I have a weekend off. You know, it'll be a different state every weekend for I think the next month and a half to 2 months. So
No doubt.
we'll,
Well, I think
yeah.
the next time you and I will see each other is at Snowshoe.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So you're going to get
And
every bit you want of me and then some.
yeah, so that's where we need to sort of bring Stu Baylor and the Rocky Mountain Red Bear Kawasaki team into the conversation. I'm planning on having a basically a full team podcast with those guys, talking to obviously the patriarch, the man, the big boss of the hot sauce, Stu Baylor, also as well as Rachel Archer and the rest of the team. Caleb Wood, I'm gonna have him on, and he's always a good interview. The rest of the
Oh,
team is
yeah.
fantastic people, honestly. And like, let before we get into the moto talk, before we get into talking about like talking a little bit about outdoors, as well as talking about obviously Philly Supercross that's in the rearview mirror, and some of the good racing and some of the bad racing moves that we saw. GNCC and yeah, that Rocky Mountain Red Bear team, like, just
Dude,
owning the fucking podium.
crushing it. Yeah, it
They
was,
had four guys that won their classes.
it was a solid weekend for him, man. And I mean, it's funny. I've had somebody tell me now that that I'm biased, you know, that I'm a Stu guy. And I'm like, first of
Wow.
all, I am like, sorry, still waiting on the official path as to how I got the call from MX Sports, but I worked for Stu Baylor at the beginning of the month in January and the beginning of the month in February, I got a call from GNCC. I had never been around or had anything to do with GNCC racing. So, Stu's been a big fan of mine, and I'm a huge fan of his, both on the announcing and the music side, man. He's always he has me out. I play music at the shows a lot, and so
New Year's.
maybe yeah, well, that's what I mean. Maybe a little
Neither
bit of
of us
bias, but it,
remember that, so it must have been
yeah.
a good
So
night.
I'm
I'm told I
told,
had
yeah,
fun.
exactly. The cool thing is, man, it's like they've got the results to back it up, and if you guys don't already follow Stu and the team, he made a post this past weekend that I think pretty much sums up that team exactly. It's Stu's Instagram story. He's kind of going across the pits, and it's just factory rig after factory rig, empty, 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 empty. And then he goes to the Rocky Mountain Red Bear Kawasaki Team 10. There's kids under there playing. There's the team having dinner. There's sponsors hanging out. Music's playing. It's a good time. It's a
Yeah.
vibe. It's a family. And I mean, you know, obviously all of they're elite athletes. Like you said, I mean, Rachel Archer kicking ass in the
Yeah.
WXC class. No other way to put it. Putting on the fight in that. Caleb Wood, one of the top dogs in the entire youth division, running that number one.
Yeah, if he's
And then
not first, he's
Stu,
second.
exactly. And then Stu's getting into the battle as well. Like we thought it might be a Johnny Girard runaway. He's had some
He's got
issues.
two
So
wins in a row
now,
now.
exactly, two wins in a row. Hey, I think he's 10 points away
10 points back.
from the points lead. So it's like,
Hey,
you know,
how does the point system work with those guys? Because like, I feel like it's
it's
like,
30 points for a win. It's the second and third that gets confusing for me because it's not the same as motocross. So this past weekend, Johnny Girard technically crossed the finish line second, but he received a one position penalty because he did not pit properly. You
Okay.
have to pit next to your semi. So he missed his pit and stopped in front of the Yamaha semi, and his mechanic ran up and refueled him. Not allowed. So bummer deal for Johnny because he had a good race going, and quite
Right.
honestly, I think Stu would even agree that was his race. He got the whole shot, and that was his race. He led 200 or 2 hours, and I think it was 48 minutes of it
Yeah, like
of a 2 hour and 57
Stu
minute
had like
race.
a 2 second lead at the end or something like that. Like it was,
If that, yeah, and it
yeah.
literally was the last lap, the last I think mile and a half that the pass got made. So, yeah, received a one position penalty. Craig DeLong, who had a great race, the reigning champ, needed a good response to get some momentum going. He ended up getting second, but
Right, because
I
he's got a
believe it's a
DNF on the year.
He had some big issues early in the year. So, but it's a 9 point difference, so it cut it pretty significantly back down to 10 points, and that's blood in the water for Big Bad Stu Baylor. So yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. Snowshoe is, I know you haven't been before. It's a it's a party and a race breaks out. Let me just put it like that, man. It is awesome. You've got to get there before the whole weekend starts because you've got to experience Howard's Hole. That is only on ATV day, man. And it is every bit of chaos and just, I don't even know how to explain it. You got to see it in person. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And probably my favorite part of GNCC is just the atmosphere down at Howard's Hole. Some guy by the name of Zach Heron is going to be playing music Friday and Saturday night. He sounds a lot like the announcer. I don't know what's up with that. Maybe
good looking cat too. Like,
hey, he's trying, man. He's trying. He's lost money this weekend, so he's got to book an extra show, I guess. But no, it's going to be a good time, man. I'm very excited to be playing music that night as well. Going to be down in the halls, lozenges all weekend long. Make sure the vocal cords are staying crispy. But it's going to be great, dude. It's going to be a good time.
Warm salt water, perhaps.
Oh yeah, a little gargle action there. But it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a good time. You're going to be there. It's one of those deals where you almost have to try to have a bad time at Snowshoe because everybody's just in a good mood. Beautiful location, man. You're on top of this ski resort. They literally start on the street. Like, I've got videos from last year. There's like this low hanging fog, and all of a sudden, just badasses come running out, and there's just Ricky waving a green flag, dude. It's cool. It is a truly very unique and cool experience, and I can't suggest it enough to anybody out there that has a desire to come out. Check them out.
Absolutely. A little bit of quick banter there brought to you by Moto Coatings Company. Let's just jump straight into Supercross. We have a ton of things to get to. We still have to get to the thought line. And thank you for those who are submitting questions. You can just hit me up straight up on email. BradGebhardt88@gmail.com. But before we get to that, we need to get to the Race Tech Suspension and Engines Block Pass. And this wasn't really a block pass. It was an attempted block pass. Jalik Swole on Hamaker, they were both in a podium situation. They are very likely to both get podiums on the race. Hamaker led the beginning of that race. Honestly, I think the shoulder injury immediately, like, you could tell he didn't have his fastball.
Yeah.
He was kind of hanging on to it. But he was, his racecraft while leading is superior to a lot of his competitors. You can, like, he was able to put himself in a spot where you just can't get by me. You can't get by me. And it was the same situation with that. He said, like, yeah, no one to blame. But that was, Jalik's fault.
And I don't have any problem saying it. You know, I've seen obviously a lot of comments and controversy on socials after it and stuff like that. Sure. But to me,
let's just call it spade a spade. That was a bad move.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, looking at it from an announcer standpoint, and you know, I try to look at it as objectively as possible. Yeah, the math ain't mathing. Like, I'm sorry, there's no way that pass was getting made whatsoever. And so, bad move on his part.
You have a wheel on him.
That's what I mean. There was no chance it was going to happen. And you know, personally, I don't agree with Jalik's decision to kind of double down on it. You know, like, I understand in the moment what you're going for, but I think one look at the tape, one look back from the cameras, and I also don't think there's anything wrong with being like, yeah, there was no way in hell I was going to make that. Like, that was a bonehead move on my part. Sorry. Like, you know, let's move forward. But it's almost like in today's world, the riders are scared to say that they made a mistake, that they had a bad judgment, anything like that. I don't get it. Honestly, except for Jet. We have heard Jet say, you know, oh, I did this like an idiot. I was stupid here. Like,
yeah, not a big brain move.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, I'm clearly not good at math. Like, he's busting on himself. And because of that, the fan base forgives him. Like, it's like, hey, all right, you know, I do some dumb stuff.
My
too.
Bad.
Like,
yeah. We'll get him next time.
It happens.
Instead of like, this time on it was a Swap Moto Live interview. Basically, like, Jalik was like, well, but depending on who you like, we'll determine how you saw that. I'm like, not at all.
Yeah. And
I like both
problem.
Riders. I think they're
that's
both
another
fantastic
problem to me.
Athletes.
Is don't create division. You know, for me, it's like, because all you've just done is tell every Seth Hamaker fan, you're either a fan of him or a fan of me. And it's like, dude, I'm like you, man. I'm a fan of the sport. I'm a fan of the contestants in the sport. And it's like, you know, Jalik has kind of, in my opinion, not performed as well as I think some people thought he was going to. I think this triumph deal is a great opportunity for him. And I think he's had some amazing flashes of great riding in it so far.
Certainly.
This was a huge opportunity for the team. And I cannot help but think that the team is disappointed on this, because
for sure,
a pro podium in Monster Energy Supercross is huge for publicity, for marketing, for just showing what the bike is capable of, especially with some of the drama surrounding that team and other riders departing. Right. And so it's like, man, they really needed that, right? They needed that positive.
They needed some good news.
And instead, not by any fault of Triumph's, sure, they're getting a lot of replays, but it's probably not what they'd want to be showing. Like, sure, hey, their bike was in the mix there, and their bike is fully capable of putting themselves and other people on the ground, just like the other brands. But nonetheless, a picture of Jalik holding the trophy up on the podium, the bike up there.
Yeah. After winning the heat race, like that would have been a nice ending to a really solid weekend.
Exactly.
Even if he ends up getting, whether he gets Seth later on in that moto or not, he's on the podium. You're moving things forward. And honestly, he's going to be in tough to get a podium at the shootout that's happening at the final round. So like you just put it's a lot more unlikely that Triumph gets a podium this season. And wouldn't it have been nice? They got their first podium the first year they were out there. No different than Husqvarna back in the day when they like came in with Travis Preston. Well, he won because Grant Langston was doing one-handers. But either way, it's kind of like it puts a little bit of a scar on things when things could have been so much better as far as just like the way that team is sort of crescendoing a little bit. They're getting prepared for outdoors. And it would have been a nice story. Unfortunately, that's just not how it worked out. They didn't put that together. And I was disappointed to see it because I think Hammaker's been trying to have a get right. He needs a get right weekend. Like the whole season has kind of like come unraveled, whether is either it's a bike issue or he's hurt or he's colliding with someone in the first turn and getting blamed for it, but like, I honestly, if there's a blame pie for that particular move, like, I have a hard time putting any of that on Seth. Like he's just outside pinning it.
And that's what I mean. Like
someone comes off the top rope.
I get going for it. I get wanting it and getting aggressive, but it's like say what you will about Vince Freese and Justin Barcia, but they are good at what they do. They're calculated. They know when they've got it and they know when they don't. And there's a skill to it. There's a skill to block passing, skill to taking somebody out. I mean, there's no chance he's going into that not expecting contact. There's no chance that and for me, it's like
sand is so fucking iffy. Like you're almost guaranteed taking yourself
it's
down.
It's scary and you can't predict what's gonna happen for yourself. All in all, I gotta think of it as a bad look on his part. I don't know, as far as moving into outdoors, where he's going to be at, as far as are we going to see him in fighting for a podium position again in outdoors? Because, dude, it's a stacked field. There's a lot of good questions. I mean, and then you take the rest of the team drama, obviously, even back in the beginning of the year with Joey not being able to race Supercross, like he's chopping at the bit, get out there in outdoors. I think just overall, the team could have used that momentum from a podium because it's I've heard many riders say, these guys live and die with your results, and that's part of the pressure that these guys feel is, man, you have a good night, we all have a good night. You have a bad night, we all have a bad night. And so, can't help but think that there's some people on the team that night, maybe not in front of Jalik because they don't want to bring him down, but maybe just shaking their head a little bit, like saying, hey, we could have really used that podium. But all in all, man, I mean, I like to see the heart, but I just think the heart overrode the head on that one, and that was just not a smart decision on his part.
Right, and honestly, when it comes to outdoors, and we'll talk about that, we're going to do our season preview the week after the Supercross season ends. But honestly, if I'm looking at things right now, I think I like Joey Savacci on the 250 on the Triumph I don't know if he's going to be winning races and owning and getting podiums and but between the two of them, I think he's going to be the leader under the truck as far as points go.
Got to think he's got the experience and probably the comfort of being in that position. I think that there's no excuse for Joey. Like I honestly think the questions of the bike have been answered, at least in Supercross. And I know it's a lot bigger of a difference for those guys from Supercross to outdoors, but at the same time, what's Joey been doing this whole time?
No, he's been focused on outdoors.
That's what I mean. He should be prepped. He should have the bike like he wants. And I mean, you know,
he might be one of the most dialed in outdoor 250 riders on the planet right now, aside from guys who race out over in Europe. Like, he should be so locked in on outdoors, it's not even funny.
And I mean, you know, quite honestly, you take a look at Triumph over in Europe, the outdoor potential's there. Like, it clearly knows how to go fast outside too. So, yeah, I mean, I do. I think this could be the start of the kind of the building of Triumph to you know, triumphant results, if you will. But at the end of the day, you know how it is. But definitely didn't end the way I think Swole wanted it to. And I think I'm just as much disappointed by the reactions afterwards as far as the comments and just the refusal to admit that you made a mistake. Like,
right.
I just don't like that. And so not saying that I don't like Jalik, not saying that I'm not going to forgive him and move on. But at the same time, it's just like this instance, come on, man. Like, you didn't have a pass made. Just say it. Like, so.
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to. It's just own up to your shit.
The long and the short of it. And so, yeah, the race tech suspension and engines almost block pass on that one.
Absolutely. And for those who have not yet experienced the increased bottoming resistance and plushness of Racetech gold valves, please go ahead and order yourself some. And it also does remind me that I have to text Checkers because I am all out of vouchers for to do some giveaways, which means we need to restock on that. Let's get that rolling. Let's go straight to the Big MX thought line. Like I said, you can send your questions to @BradGebhardt88 on email. gmail.com for the email, and then you can just like straight up hit me up on Instagram Instagram Big MX Radio, or just like Twitter. I've never not responded to a direct message or a mentioned tweet. So just hit me up on any social media. If you can find Big MX Radio, you'll find a way to get in contact with me. But let's go straight to Dakota Jackson from New Hampshire.
New Hampshire's
probably a big fan of Scotty Carter. If you boys could be a pro in during any decade during the pro motocross history, what decade would that be?
I honestly think this is a stupid question because I don't think there's a single dude that's not saying the 90s.
It's 90s, like, right?
It's got to be, right?
Because I mean, I could see some people, like, if you grew up in the 2000s and you love that era.
I do. And I did.
But here's what I not want to deal with. Like the transition from two strokes to four strokes as a pro would have been a huge pain in the ass.
Giant pain in the ass. And then on top of that, you have this just complete transformation of the fitness side of things, which is like, for those that don't know, it's like, it's really fucking hard.
The change from like 2001 to 2009 is like stark.
Night and day difference. And I mean, it's like Villopoto and those guys, like they kind of came up into it. Like by that point, it was like,
that's a problem.
Hey, you need to be working. And I mean, quite honestly, you even Villopoto, you can see when he starts working with Alden on his floor, Alden's like,
He gets a jawline.
He's fat. Yeah, he was fat. And
yeah,
so,
like 2009, he was like, he was tubby guy. And like,
do you remember that documentary, the To Be Continued? And Alden's already sitting there like, yeah, when I first got him, I was kind of worried because he was kind of big. And RV's sitting over there eating an ice cream sandwich going, a little husky, maybe good fighting weight. I was like, no, bro, you were fat. Like,
you're
not in shape. And
you
were
a thick snicker. And I think he just owns it too. Like, he just loves it. He's like, I was also like lightning fast on a 450 and that cowie ripped.
Yeah, pretty sure I just kicked everyone's ass at Motocross the Nation. So didn't really care. You know, but and that's what I mean. It was that.
I like Shaggy haired RV was like good. Oh, yeah. That was like great RV.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was when I was up in the rig with him. I'm telling you. It was good times, dude. But it's, it's just, I don't know, man. To me, the 90s just seems so fun. And it's like this, almost like this mythic, like, cause I wasn't around in it. So it's like, even watching the old videos and stuff like that, like, I'm just like I was watching, I want to say, might have been We Went Fast or somebody had on Instagram today. Mm-hmm. And it was like Mike Metzger and Jeremy McGrath. They're hanging out. They're hitting this giant step up. And I'm like, dude, when's the last time you saw
Jet Lawrence and Patrick Evans?
Yeah, R. Willie or somebody. Sure. Yeah. And they're just out there like, oh, yeah, I let Metzger hit it first and then I fucking just sent it. Like, it's just that doesn't happen, man. And then the parties, the ads back then, like just the way the industry was able to just play on
everything. Things, dude, we had 1-800-COLLECT.
Dude, it was just
like 1-800-COLLECT was as mainstream gets.
But it was also like, dude, it was true idolization of those riders, man. Like nowadays, and I was listening to, I want to say it was either Gypsy or one of those, but it was Anderson that was talking about it. And he's like, man, like he was talking about how he feels like they almost need to flex that they're badasses and they do cool shit. And it's not always like now it almost is like if you are doing anything other than fucking grinding, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's like back then, it's like, dude, those dudes kicked ass on the weekend. They mm-hmm. partied. They had chicks. They had fun. They did cool.
Oh, they're getting
stuff.
After it. Like
what I mean, dude. They, you know, fur coats and the big glasses. And it's just like, you want to be them. Like you look at them,
100%.
Like, those are badasses right there. And it's like now you look at Cooper Webb and you're just like, that guy just seems really unhappy.
Like, totally. No, that's the thing. Really, I think that like is the biggest difference. Is because like throughout the 90s, like you had MC who was like kicking everyone's ass every single weekend, every single race. And then you had like the guys who were like 5th through 10th, they were just like, life's a lark. I'm a professional racer. I'm not going to beat Jeremy, but I am going to look hilarious doing it.
Dude. Like, yeah, I'm just having fun, man.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to go to Lake Havasu. We're going to be awesome. Like a guy, like, honestly, like if you think of a guy like Jeff Matasevich, and of course he went over to Japan and won championships, and he is a two-time lights champion, like a 125 champion, I think 87, 88, on the Kawasaki's. Like he's one of the first ever back-to-back champion in that class. That same career in 2024, he is not looked at as like this like mythical, like just this like, yeah. like this like, he wouldn't have the legacy that he has, but like he was fun. He was kind of brash. He had his segment of fans that like people just absolutely ate it up.
Yeah.
And like athlete in 2024, 20 years from now, does not still have like long ongoing relationship with Kawasaki.
No. Yeah. And that's what I mean. The spear is almost too sharp at this point. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Because now it's kind of diluted its way through the industry to now it's the fans. If so-and-so, you know, I mean, you take a look, Jet posts his Rolls Royce and it's the fans that are sitting there. Oh, shouldn't you be training? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Like,
what a waste of money.
Dude. Like, yeah, fucking Jeff over there with a cig hanging in his mouth and two teeth in his mouth. Like, I'm just like, dude. And that's what, like, the social side of things also is a whole reason. Like, no way in hell I'd want to be here at this time. Like, you ask any of those guys back then. No, dude, absolutely not. And I mean, you know, it's like realistically, if Jeremy McGrath had a Snapchat back then, it'd look like buttery films. Like it's just chicks everywhere jumping pit bikes over shit that shouldn't be jumped over. Like it's just they're having a blast, but nobody's going to see it. Nobody's, you know, sitting there. You don't get those preconceived notions. And then it's like, yeah, I go and show up. I kick ass on the weekend, cash the check, you know, buy another boat or whatever and roll on. Like, yeah, end of story, Dakota 90s. Period. Space.
Yeah.
It like because you don't even have to win to be having a good time.
And like, the bikes weren't. I respect all they respect bad. To no. The bikes were great. Like you go like 95 onward. Like the YZ and the Honda. Like they're only a little. They're only a little bit less awesome than whatever Ricky was racing on in the early 2000s. And then honestly, like as much as you like, I'm sure there's a lot of people who love their 2004. CR 450, like I'll take a like mid 90s Honda all day. Like the no one is building a 2005 Wyndham replica bike anytime soon.
Yeah.
First of all, the thing would be a bucket of bolts to begin with and like $1 million to repair and still not be as cool. But all respect to the 80s because they had works bikes. But they even the works bikes aren't as cool and like they're not very durable. Like if you put any time on an 80s bike, you are repairing every nut and bolt on that damn thing a couple of weeks later because it's like they're just not built as hardy as the bikes in the 90s. And you can still go fast. Like there's some great bikes throughout the 90s. It's the 90s, and it's not close.
Yeah, it's there's a reason you still see like some 97s at your local races. Like yeah. they're still functional. They still compete. Like the suspension's adequate enough, especially for your local scenes and stuff like that. So yeah,
technology wise, it's pretty modern.
A good era, man. And I mean, yeah, just good times. Like it's so cool to be able to look back. And I mean, obviously there's great stuff going on in the sport and everything has, I feel like, almost professionalized a little more and stuff like that. But at the same time, as far as like you asking me, yeah, no, I'll go hang out, have Sue, you know,
90s. We're at Denny Stevenson's boat, just getting absolutely turned up.
Stabbed. Oh, wait, what?
And no, we're getting stabbed. Stabbed as well.
Yeah, back in
that
the
took
day,
a turn. That took
you
that
could have a disagreement movie. And not get stabbed. Yeah, but Denny, we're glad you're okay. But nonetless, yeah, good stuff there from Dakota. Is this Yan Beekus? He's from
Missouri.
I believe
Missouri. It's
Yan. Yeah, but he's in Missouri, man. It's Yan. Hey, Yan, come here, boy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's a flyover state if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I'm going with Yan. So Yan Beekus is asking, after being eliminated from the NBA playoffs, LeBron James was wearing a shirt with a – oh, I didn't know this. Was wearing a shirt to a throwback 70s moto with a Bull Taco racer on the front. Any chance he knows much about motocross or who was on the shirt? So, yeah, not a lot of people know. LeBron James, actually a partial investor in the Star Racing Yamaha team. So that's where all of Bobby's – I'm completely bullshitting, folks. There's no chance in 40 hells that he has any idea –
I'd say 90% of the people who are in Nemoto don't know who that is. Like, you don't know that that's Mike Cannon, for those who don't know.
I didn't see the picture because I don't watch the NBA, but I mean, I've seen a Bull Taco in person. They're pretty badass. There was one racing at the Daytona thing. And so, yeah.
That's my logo is built off of, for those who don't know.
Yeah, but it's funny because, like, the retro moto influx into fashion is so weird. Like there's a I'm not imagining you're a Lil Dicky rapper fan, but
he's I like got one of his songs. He has one about
he's got some
cheap.
Funny ones. Yeah. Oh, Save That Money.
That's right.
Yep. He's got a couple that are
workout
that
playlist.
Are very good. But he's got a show, things on Hulu. It's called Dave. And one of his friends in that show, they're at like this big suave party and Bieber's there and the Kardashians are there. And he's wearing like a 1990s Thor jersey to the party. Like that's his getup. And it's like, dude, there's a lot of people that like, I want to say it was either Diplo or Steve Aoki was wearing one at one of his concerts. Like there are
several Backstreet Boys used to wear like fucking chest protectors on the stage.
Yeah. Like, it's very, very strange to see the way moto.
The weirdest one is when I see people wearing moto pants because moto pants aren't, they're not comfortable.
They're not comfortable.
They don't look
they're not
good.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
They're kind of like flood pants. Stuff, like if you wear them properly, they're like, they don't go to like halfway down your ankle. Yeah. Or maybe I'm just tall. Like you're a tall guy. You're probably the same deal. Like,
dude, I've got pants popping out the top of my boots sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
like if it's there's some manufacturers out there where you, like if they were any looser, they'd be an over the boot pant because
it's very funny to see the sport itself hasn't really made it there, but for some reason the fashion is it's so funny. My dad used to work at a shop in Charlotte and he had this regular gentleman that would come in and buy this, that, and the other thing. Well, one day, one night their store got robbed. The guy literally drove a box van into the wall and robbed the whole place and drove back off. But the next day that regular guy comes in and this is my dad's impression, so I don't want to hear anything, but he says he comes up to the parts counter and he's like, "Man, y'all have a sale on Thor jerseys or something?" And dad was like, I mean, no, not anything crazy. Like, "Man, every brother in the club had on the Thor jersey last night." It was just, dude, it's just funny, man. I don't know what it is. But
I miss seeing the pickup kits at the bar.
Dude. Yeah, you'd walk into a Wendy's and you just knew that fry cook wanted it. Like, it's just, what's up, girl? C-class, you know? But, yeah, it's, no, LeBron James doesn't know it. And quite honestly,
that would be hilarious if, like, low-key, he's just, like, a diehard. Like,
well, it's like Omax blows people's minds. Like when they still like people see Michael Jordan in a NASCAR race and they're freaking out. And I'm like, yep, kind of owns a fucking team, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and so.
And owned a street bike team for the longest time.
Yes. Jordan's a huge fan of racing. And so it's, I don't see it happening. I don't see, LeBron's personality type really meshing with it a lot, but you know, what do I know? So.
Yeah, I don't know enough about his
but,
story.
But good
to
question,
really...
Yan. I'll have to see if I can find that picture because that is interesting.
Well, yeah, I put it on my story there. Like literally, like I think it's so funny. Like LeBron James giving motocross more coverage this week than like the entire industry.
Yeah, that's like almost the sad part of it. I want to say one of the Kardashians wore like a Thor jersey for something at some point. Perfect example. I'm out at World Mini. And Preston Kilroy's, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or his fiance, but anyway, she's up in the tower. She does some stuff with registration.
Right.
She comes up and she is rocking this no fear vest, like no fear. And I'm like, literally turned the microphone off. And I was like, where did you get that vest? And immediately Kevin Kelly is behind me. And he's like, I was going to ask the same thing. Like, where'd you get that vest? She goes, this? And I'm like, yeah, like no fear. Like, where did you find it? Forever 21. What? What? Yeah, Forever 21, like 4 years ago.
Does Forever 21 have like the new, like the no fear gear that I'm looking for?
Did they get the rights? Because, dude, I'll go shopping. I'll grab the chicken. We'll hit it because I was like, what? And she literally said, she's like, I've probably had close to 100 people ask me about this vest. And she's like, I had no idea why at first. I just thought it was a cool vest and got it. And I'm like, so.
It's so sad that fears, went away.
Right. And that's what I mean. I'm just like. I see some guy with a no fear sticker across his back windshield. I'm like, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't
understand. Stolen valor.
Yeah. I'm like, exactly. Like, I'm like, show me your stripes.
When I see someone like rocking, like that, that's me as a blue collar guy, as a tradesman.
Yeah.
And I see like the cleanest Carhartt jacket in the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, show me your stripes. Like,
dude,
if I don't see a blue some collar's biggest on those hands, fear,
A blue collar man's biggest fear is walking out with a brand new set of boots on. He's like, immediately, I got to get these fuckers dirty because,
oh my God,
this don't look legit right now. And so,
did you see I showed you the boots that, Wolverine Boots sent me, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those things are sick.
Hell yeah. Should I wear those to snowshoe?
No, honestly. I mean, you can wear them around, but like, you need, if you're going to Howard's Hole, which you are, like I am not exaggerating at all. I was knee deep in mud. I had mud boots duct taped to rain pants. Yeah. So, or waders. Yeah. Whatever. Especially with you being in the snow, you've got to have something.
Yeah.
But,
No,
don't get anything. Don't bring anything that you like to snowshoe.
Okay.
Like, unless it's rain gear. So,
fair enough.
But, yeah, so that's an interesting thing there from Yan, a nice little pickup. Evan Newhook out of Minnesota is the next one. Let's see, which or who of the current crop of privateers will eventually get a shot with a factory-supported team in the future? I'm going to be honest. I did not see Cody Shock signing with Club for 3 years. I thought he was going to get a Bobby Reagan seat or something. I mean, I really think he's – and I'm also on the fence about officially calling Club MX privateer team. Like, they're doing great. I think they're getting more and more support. I'm not saying that they're a factory team, but they're very well supported. Let me just
I wonder if there was contingent any like you're never going to take a look at that contract, but like I have a sneaking suspicion that Club is going to KTM.
Okay.
And I don't know if part of that, like based, like I'm sure there's some verbiage in there about manufacturer and manufacturer support. I don't know that, because obviously the KTM entity of that whole deal, like if in fact they do go to KTM, like I don't know if in the future Club only becomes more supported by any factory, whether it's Yamaha or KTM. And it wouldn't be crazy for them to go to KTM because if for those who don't remember, Club MX used to be called Redemption Racing. That was the original team. They actually raced out of Canada. And so the entire team, like, is like the Jeffrey family that essentially is like sort of like they were part investors of it and like they sort of went racing. they originally started, like, Joey Crown was on the team. That's when they switched over to Yamahas. They were on KTMs prior to that with Cade Clayson up here in Canada. And then they basically went all in with Yamaha. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them go back to KTM or any other manufacturer for that matter. But KTM really, there is a big push from that manufacturer to have orange bikes up front.
Yeah.
Like, well, yes, and they obviously give a lot of, like, the support to Husqvarna and GasGas. But I truly, truly feel that Honda or that KTM, the orange ones, get the most amount of priority when it comes to research, development, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And quite
to
honestly,
answer the question, it is Shock, by the way. That is the guy.
It's got to be. And that's what I mean is like, I think a lot of these true privateers would be dreaming of a club ride. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think as far as the way club is set up and stuff like that, I think it's great. The facility itself is great. Like, I mean, there's a ton of riders that come out and ride. I think Anderson was out there for a while. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, that to me is pretty cool. I think the whole area is only getting bigger. The South and the Southeast is really becoming popular as far as the motocross scene. Like we were joking about the Loretta stuff, but it's like, dude, as far as your pros going, there's a lot of them that as far as living, they don't want to live in California. They don't want to be around that all the time. They come out here and they get a little bit of a break from it. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see, but I definitely, as far as just riders go, I would say Shock. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, like I had heard some rumors that Brees was talking to some teams from the Arena Cross stuff. You know, I want to,
from a factory standpoint though, like Brees is almost, he's got to be in his late 20s already, right? He's got,
yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's kind, like, of but I mean, you know, Cody Shock's 26, 27, I think,
right? And you, like, know, okay, I mean, are we talking like, it could Brees get like a factory beta ride? Is that, are we still considering that factory?
I mean, I'm sure the check cash is the same. You know, I mean, like, I don't really.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm already in trouble with Benny for saying this, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what I mean is, like, I want to say that I think beta is, you know, improving and stuff like that. I mean, we've got, you know, the factory Liqui Moly beta team at GNCC.
Right.
And they are a factory effort. But I think the thing that makes them kind of unique is that they put a push on a lot of the bikes that you're not seeing other people ride. They are the 125 class.
Yeah, they get the 125. And the, like, that thing looks sweet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Jack Walker was killing it the last race. You guys can actually see his GoPro online. GoPro Moto or GNCC has posted it. But it's you know, impressive from them as far as that kind of showing. And it kind of spreads across their range of bikes now at this point. I want to say Beta was doing free bike testing. Like, you could go out and try their bike out at Mesquite at World Mini. They had some bikes out
to
trial. Yep, on the vet track. So I think they're putting a push in it. I think they've got the real factory backing behind it. And then, you know, the rumors of Ducati coming, the rumors of some teams changing manufacturers. You know, I think the factory door is going to be open a little bit more, but I still agree, like, with what you're saying. I mean this with all due respect to Benny and to Colt both, but, you know, I think there's a reason they were picked as compared to a top level guy. Is it's not saying that they're not top level, but you get what I mean. They're just kind of off that cutting edge right now, but they're solid. They're consistent. I'm sure they're both very, I've heard a lot of good stuff about Colt as far as testing goes.
Right.
And so,
and honestly, you know, I'd like to see Colt get another opportunity with a Japanese or an Austrian manufacturer at the highest level.
Yeah. And I think Colt is kind of rebuilding and getting back into the kind of shape to really show what he's capable of. But he's had, you know, he's shown what he's got multiple times before. And I mean, I think, I don't think Benny can get too mad, because I've even heard on some of his pods that he's done, you know, it's essentially, you know, just how long can I do this? How long can I keep this going out? I think you know,
he's dealt with injuries as well.
Tons. And I mean, it's gotta be hard. You know, I will say, I feel like the beta fits him a lot better coming from a taller guy.
Yeah.
I think he looks less
much like a super mini on underneath.
Yes, exactly. And so, hopefully he's all happy over there. And I mean, for me, it's like, man, how cool would it be to have all of your normal manufacturers and then legitimately have Triumph with the capability of winning. You know, the 450 is coming. It's in the works. You have Ducati. You have Beta really getting into the mix as well. Like, it's like, dude, that's huge. I mean, one to two top guys on all of those teams, they get everything figured out. Like, I would love to be able to see that in the mix and really, you know, kind of change things up a little bit. So good question there, though, from Evan out of Minnesota. We appreciate it. Brad didn't say it, but I do
think Evan likes pop or if he likes soda.
He's a pop guy up there. My mom's from Sayville. It's all pop up there.
Pop.
Yep.
And get you a pop. Oh, sure. We're going to watch the Packers play later.
Yeah, my mom went to high school.
Or I guess in Minnesota, he's a Vikings guy, probably.
Poor guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but, well, let's keep going as far as this this past weekend's race. We'll dive straight into the 250s.
Am I the only person that was, like, so jealous of all of the Philly cheesesteak, like, pictures? And, like, I literally made it at the house.
It's funny. I worked at an airport for a while, and the only benefit that it had was that you got free flights. But there was all of these specifics as far as how you could use the flights and stuff like that. And this guy Shannon that I worked with, big old black dude, man. He's, you know, he carried the whole fueling line on his back, and there was three different occasions that he flew to Philadelphia for lunch, got a giant ass Philly cheesesteak in Philly, drove his ass back to the airport, and flew back to Charleston, South Carolina. That is not a lie, folks. That, so maybe it's different up there.
The long lunch hour.
No. There was a day off.
Oh, okay.
It was like you couldn't do it when you had work.
Yeah,
there was a lot of
specifics. Hey, I'm clocking out. I'll be right back. I'm going to Philadelphia for a sandwich.
He actually just laid down in the cargo bay, and they didn't know he was in there. So, you know, it was one of those freebies. But no, it was it's. I think it was cool to be back in Philly. I think the fans liked it. I think the rest of it's up in the air as far as how much everybody else enjoyed it. But, you know, I think it's cool. I like going back to different locations. I want to come to Charlotte. Rock seemed
tough to pass on.
Yeah, but that kind of seems like the theme of the year, though.
Yeah.
It's not really developed the way I think people have thought it
was. That 450 race was boring.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't.
Like 11 minutes to go, and it was like that race was over.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, that was one of those races where you're just kind of like, there's not really much to say on
but
it.
But honestly, I'm blown away by Marvin Musquin 2.0.
Yeah, Lil Marv is it's that number, man. I'm telling
dude,
you,
Jean Girard. He's Jean Girarding the fuck out of
eating thin pancakes and kicking ass, man. That's what he's doing.
If he doesn't like, I don't like, it's so weird because I don't think they could ever bridge the gap to actually do some funny skits together.
Dude, that would be, I was just thinking that because I saw a picture that somebody did with like the little text bubble. And I'm like, dude, because quite honestly, you know, Deegan would.
Oh, 100%.
Like, honestly, Deegan's probably so pissed he's not in Fly so that he could wear the Ricky Bobby fucking gear.
Yeah.
Because it would be so perfect. And then Tom just rolls up to the gate with a macchiato.
It's like,
dude, it would be so great.
It's time to dance with the blind shoemaker.
Yes. It's just I think it would be like, you could have Danger Boy dressed up as Ricky. You could have Hudson Deegan dressed up as Cal. And then you're Brian. Yes. It's just like, dude.
Oh, and then Dax Bennett comes in and like, maybe you could slingshot me in for a win.
But if you win, how am I going to win? Yeah, I was thinking,
thinking about that.
You're right. Who's Rick Honcho?
Mike Honcho?
Mike Honcho.
It's Romano.
Yeah.
It's not Mosman.
Yeah, it's definitely not Mosman. But I agree. I think it would be – it'll never happen, but it would be very cool.
That would be so electric. Oh, my God.
That is the doorway. That's the doorway to because quite honestly, you telling me Barstool
Thor made some like Perrier looking
dude. If that's what I'm saying. If he had some Perrier like just even reminiscent of it, just Thor in the same font,
yes,
it would just be God, it would be so good. And it would blow up. Like, it would blow up so far.
If they're just on track walk, what if they just got the jackets and they're on track walk? Like, they have like NASCAR jackets.
That's what I'm saying. That all of the pro moto world would post it. NASCAR would be all over it. Will Ferrell's definitely reposting it. Like, it's just like, dude,
he's got all kinds of time on his hands because his Kings got knocked out of the playoffs.
But nonetheless, it's like, it's good comedy. He is French. He is coming to like, it's just, it's art imitates life, right? And so, it would be really cool. And I mean, I don't know,
he's from California, but the kid's almost kind of like redneck, in your face. Yeah. He's like, he's actually the good old boy. And then you have the soft spoken Frenchman.
If Dak Bennett could come out of his shell a little bit more and then have the results, he'd be perfect because he's Carolina boy, you know, NASCAR country. But nonetheless, Deegan is the guy for it because of the outgoingness. And you tell me he wouldn't slap an accent on, baby. Come on, man. I mean,
it would be pure comedy gold. Max Hansen gets the win. Dude, Privateer's getting wins.
Does he count if he goes over to a factory team? Does that count for Evan's question?
Well, that's already signed. So if Evan sent this to me 3 weeks ago before that ink dried, I'd say that one. But he's going to Yamaha, and that he's going to start racing Yamaha, which he already rides with those guys. Like, I'm sure at some point, he put some time on. It was like. There's everyone put your phones away. Max Anstey's gonna put up a few laps here, and
it's amazing how much of that stuff happens across the board. And it's quite honestly, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that everybody has the respect for everybody else. That it doesn't get leaked. It doesn't really, you know, video of it at least. But it's like, what is it? Is it
AC Stewart? Has never ridden anything though.
Do you believe that?
He says it I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, I want to believe him. I think a lot of it's probably got to do with his size, because I don't know, me personally, I struggle so much riding other people's bikes because my bike is so screwed up as far as lower pegs, tall seat, bar risers. Like, I know
he looks like a bunny rabbit with the hand guards on there and
come at me, bro, bunny rabbit kicking your ass as it goes by. But
hip hopping through the whoops. Yeah, I get you.
Yep, hip hopping, baby. But I mean, I don't know. I think he has. I don't think he wants to say anything.
You think maybe when him and Sexton were bros?
Like him and Roczen, maybe. Ooh. Like, you got to think early back in the day. Like, you telling me when
the KTM AC, days?
Maybe. I mean, he's had a lot of opportunities to ride Kenny's stuff. I'm sure he's probably got a lot of trust.
When he was at Baker's factory.
Well, that's what I mean. He's there with Villopoto and Ken, and then he's been.
Who's Ken?
He rode with Ken when he was on RCH. Honda some too, right?
I think, yeah, because they rented the Lake Elsinore Supercross track back in 2018 when it was mostly Dakota Tedder renting it.
Yeah.
And then those guys got to ride there. But yeah, they rode together almost every day back when AC's mechanic was Brandon Zimmerman, who is recently moved on from KTM.
Yeah, we've got that in the bullet points as well. So, but going back to Anstey, good dude. I don't know if it's just the accent, but I personally, I'm all about how I've been treated, you know, not to make it all about me, but I have.
I put a lot of weight into that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean is this Max Anstey, this was at Charlotte SMX last year. He obviously has no idea I announced the GNCC or anything. That that really matters at all, but nonetheless, he's watching practice or whatever. And I came up and asked him just to basically, you know, man, what are you thinking? Kind of question. Probably talked to me 10 to 15 minutes.
Minimum.
Chatted it up, you know, asked questions from me. What do you think about this? You know, and it was like,
he knows your grandmother's last name at this point.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just like, it speaks volumes to who he is for a person. And it's like, some of my favorite riders, probably not my favorite people, but it's cool when you've got one and the same. Like, he's
very you can meet your heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, Travis Pastrana, across the board, love the dude. Got nothing to complain about. Seems like every time I've met him in person, has chatted it up with me. No issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
Certain other riders that I'm going to choose not to drop at this time, not so much.
Honestly, yeah, it just comes down to like a lot of these guys, like they're so used to having a lot of one-sided conversations where like they are the subject of conversation and they're used to being asked questions and never having to ask questions the other way around. Like I'll tell you about two guys who are head and shoulders, in my opinion, like the best at that. Colt Nichols, one of the most salt of the earth people I've ever met. Like literally you talked like, you're like, hey man, how are things? Like, yeah, good. Like, how are things by you, man? Like actually genuinely gives a shit. And like, we can talk about whatever. And same thing goes for Shane McElrath. Like, yeah, I guarantee
Shane's always seemed really cool.
If I sent Shane a invite to this Zoom call right now, he joins. And like,
yeah, it's because it's like he's Carolina and
the only
baby.
Thing he's doing right. I'm interrupting him playing video games.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean is I like when, to me, like, and I feel like I said this at World Mini, somehow it came up, but I said to me, like my two worlds that I really love are motocross and music, right? And it's like Travis Pastrana is the Dave Grohl of motocross because they're both absolute badasses, can do a variety of things, whether it's instruments, whatever, but also so kind, not big-headed at all. We'll talk to a kid, an old lady, whoever, and be happy to do it. It's just that to me speaks volumes. Shane's always been cool from what I've said.
Good guy.
What is his brother's name? Kyle, right?
Kyle, yeah.
I was about to say, I raced Kyle several times growing up. Same thing. Like, we obviously weren't chatting a lot when we were racing, but, you know, we follow each other. We like each other's stuff. And it's like, I think that's cool. To me, it's just like, yeah, it comes down to once you get in the industry and you're around these guys, to me, it's more who you are with the helmet off than anything else. And that is one thing, like, you know, like I consider myself to be good friends with Jacob Hayes, and I asked him straight up, like, so is Jet cool? Like, and he is, maybe he was giving me a business answer. I like to believe that he's being straight up, but he's like, dude, they're nice people. Like, they're a big family.
I like to hear that.
And that's like, for me, especially with him kicking ass like he is, it's like, it just makes me like him even more. Like,
right.
Like,
it'd be a lot. It'd be very easy for that to just all go to your head because you're 19, 20, you're 20 years old and you've got the world in the palm of your hand. Like,
yeah. So it's good to see. We've also, for the last point in the 250s, a little bit of the late show from Joe. Better late than never. You know, to me, it's like they've got to be
Joe's MO.
They got to be putting in time for outdoors, right? Like, it's got to be like, hey,
that's got to be the focus.
Yeah, you've got to come out swinging in that. So I'm hoping that this
I think
is
he's
all
better. Just, better at Supercross though. Like,
I don't think Honda cares, to be honest with you. Like,
no, I know that.
Yeah, you need to figure it out because unfortunately,
I'll be interested to see how his starts are outdoors this year. I think that Jet and Hunter, both elite athletes in this sport and good starters to begin with. I'm interested to see if Joe is starting in the same spot as he was on that PC Cowie that at the end of last year, it was him and Ryder D fucking see ya every single, like they got whole shots on whole shots on whole shots.
Yeah, they were rolling for sure. So it's, unfortunately for Joe, he doesn't have the buffer period. Like, it's like, dude, you got to start showing up at round one. And so, yeah, I mean, no point in beating a dead horse. He knows what he's got to do. Honda's telling him if he doesn't. So 450s, we mentioned it. Sexton's mechanic, not that that's a huge emphasis on how the race went down, but I do think it's an interesting thing, like especially with the relationship that they've had. Who makes that call? I saw Chase's post. It sounds like that was more of a team decision.
Yeah, I think that's – and I don't want to admit, like kind of speak out of turn. I think that's the team – like having some sort of disagreement with Brandon about how it went, like how it happened or what happened or the reaction.
So you think it had to do from the crash from that one instance?
Yeah, I do. I think that's probably like, it's no different than like you're in a relationship and you end up breaking up over a really stupid or a really stupid, something stupid. But like there was a thousand things leading up to that led
it's
both parties to be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And it's always something that probably shouldn't have been the thing that ended it, but it is because
scheme of things. Yeah. It was well, and I like that. And I'm sure somebody probably told him to do it, but I do like that Chase put something out there.
Right.
You know, just giving because these guys are Like I've seen it happen, like Craig DeLong last year. You know, he's in his championship year. I think it was round four or five.
Yeah,
he changed mechanics, and it was, you know, I had kind of become friends with his old mechanic and messaged him, and you know, it's tough when things don't work out. But all in all, you know, I do think it's cool that you know, I'm pretty sure Craig gave him some credit on the next podium. You know, it didn't work out, but right. blah 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 blah. And so I just, because it is. Those guys aren't superstars. Like, you can't go down and tell me every – you might be able to, but most people can't tell me so-and-so's mechanic's name, you know? So it's hard for these guys when it's like, man, if things go wrong and you lose what looks like a dream job spot, you know, people mm-hmm. obviously right. ask questions and stuff like that. So, but
– honestly, I don't even know if someone put a bug in Sexton's ear. I think
– I hope not. I hope it was
I think
genuine.
He honestly
yeah.
just put that upon himself to sort of clear the air and basically, here's the situation – I'll say this about Brandon Zimmerman, one of the most giving, salty of the earth people that yeah. I've ran into this industry. He gave me, there was tell you about Brandon Zimmerman story, is 2022, the Minneapolis Supercross, last time we went there, probably the last time we go there for a while, because that stadium's not great for Supercross, especially the pit situation. But friend of mine was in the middle of, like, it was during sort of like, it was the tail end of COVID as far as Canada was considered. The U.S. had moved on from it probably 2 years prior to that.
America. But,
hell yeah. So, but he didn't want to, had he failed a COVID test, he would have had to quarantine and not been able to go to school when he came back. And he was in the middle of like his, some testing and stuff like that. He couldn't miss any time. So he had tickets to Supercross, had to forego the trip, couldn't go. I text the situation to Brandon, like, yo, like, this guy, diehard Honda guy, loves himself some Hondas. Like, is there anything we can do for him? He gave this kid not only a Honda podium hat, not only a bunch of swag from Honda, but the number plate from Chase Sexton's A1 pro, like 450 debut.
Wow.
Brandon's first ever front number plate in the 450 class.
Wow.
And yeah, like that number plate went on to go win the championship.
Yeah.
That holds
sentimental too. Like, I don't
yeah,
care.
That,
what
that is that, big yeah. to do for somebody. And like, you know, that like he had it on him. Like that wasn't just like, he was saving that for something.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't just hanging on to that. Oh, if someone asks, all yeah, like, he's some, like,
yeah,
he looked at it. He's like, yeah, this is all I got. And you know what? Fuck it. The kid deserves it. And yeah, sight unseen. Handed it over, signed it, got Chase to sign it. That's the kind of person that Brandon Zimmerman is. And no matter what is in his future, he'll be very successful at it because he's worked with a ton of teams. He was with RCH for a while. He was with Hart and Huntington for a while. Obviously, he worked with Pro Circuit, working with Adam Ciancerulo. I believe he was the championship mechanic for that as well when they won in 2019. Great person. And honestly, the guy taking over for him in that position, also a great guy from Pemina, North Dakota, don't you know? Kyle Defoe, a guy that I raced with growing up. He's a couple of years my junior, but one of the most, they both graduated from Pro Circuit as far as like they worked there and they've moved on. But they live that like sort of the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and they do their work. So.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. It's all in all, however it went down, it's just good to see people getting credit and people getting, you know, a nice goodbye, if nothing else. But dropping down to the next point, straight to business, Webb needs a miracle.
Yes. Like, well, he needs an Achilles to pop at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I don't think
you need
it's
a DNF,
happen.
Like, and a no points DNF, because it's what, 20 points now?
I don't know the exact number, points? But it's, I think so. Yeah, it's enough points to where it's like he's either going to need Jet to just absolute eat it on like the last lap, you know, and he can still finish, you know, 17th or whatever. But it's, yeah, at the end of the day, the writing's getting put up on the wall. It's final draft time. So yeah, he's going to have to make something happen. I also, you know, and I look at this as a good thing. I don't see Webb just trying to absolutely annihilate Jet, you know, like if he beats him, he beats him. And so, and as far as for the kid goes, it's, dude, if you can keep doing what you just did. Yeah. get ready for a long summer. And so, and then
Having a nice little gap here, Jet's going to be able to
test
yes. outdoors. And I think he has been
ready. Yes. And, that's not good for everybody else. So, Tomac. So I saw
recent outdoors
he's in. Game. He's in. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that was legit. So I'm pumped then because
12
that was
points Webb right now. So he needs okay, Jet to have like the worst race of his year.
Yeah, of his year. But that's also not DNF. So that's like
no, it's 10th.
Yeah, I mean, like you crash on the last lap or something like that. There's a chance. I mean, it'd have to be a pretty big crash. But
it'd have to be a mid-moto to late race crash.
Yeah.
In order for Jet to be 10th or worse. Because if he goes down on the first lap, like, he's still 5th.
Yes. Yeah. And so, to me, you know, the announcer, drama craving side of me is like, yeah, that would be sick if we could get it, like, right down there to neck and neck at the final round. I still think it's Jets. But
yes.
Nonetheless, the anticipation builds. I'm already, to me, just with the announcement of Tomac Racing Outdoors, that's the anticipation now, I think, that people are starting to look at
Not only, I don't think it's been released properly, but I have on good authority that he's racing outdoors, and I think he's back for next year.
I had heard that he was coming back for at least Supercross next year. So, I don't know.
He's going to have 3 kids at home.
Yep.
And probably goes like, you know what? Like, 32 races? Weekends,
all of a sudden. Yeah, it doesn't sound
some quiet hotel rooms. Like, that doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Got some dirt bikes. All right.
I think this was the matchup everybody wanted to see last year.
Yeah. I think he's also enjoying bringing his family to the races. Like,
I hope so. He seems to be enjoying everything a little bit more now. And maybe that just comes with the writing, of the career starting to get put on the wall. And it's almost like the more a rider has questions about their future, the more they're like, they value what they're doing right now, And so, I refuse to admit that Adam Cincirillo is done in a couple of weeks.
That's not happening. Wild.
I'm not admitting.
He's not even racing outdoors, right?
Not happening. No. From what I understand, in a few weeks, Adam Cincirillo is retired.
And yeah. We've seen him do his last East Coast race, professional race ever.
Dude,
he's going to do.
And like that one hits me hard, dude, because that's my generation. Like that is the guy where I'm like, dude, I watched this guy. I can't even tell you how many hours I spent just wishing I was him. And just, he's riding a KX85 at Ricky Carmichael's house. Just, yeah. I mean, just, it was just, yeah, man. I mean, him
he was
and Cooper,
a smooth operator on those.
Yeah.
Things.
Are both just like heroes for me in the sense of like, they were the guys my age that did it. It was like I'll never forget. Cooper Webb came to our local track, lapped me 5 times in a 4 lap race. And it was like, dude, that guy's the shit. And it's like, he is now. It's like multi-time. Like, I feel way better about saying that now that he's a multi-time champion. Cause
yeah,
it's a lot of times to be lapped, but, it's one of those. I mean, dude, AC, we had a regional at the, one of the tracks that I announced at here in North Carolina. This was years and years ago. And it was, I want to say 2010. Cooper was just starting to test out the 250F AC. I want to say he was only racing the Super Mini, but he rode one of the 125 classes, and they had just this kind of ski jump. And then there was a roller way down the straightaway. And dude, I've never seen somebody just send something on an 85 like that in my life. Super Mini, it damn sure wasn't an 85. But yeah, to me, it's like, man, that's kind of it's tough. It's tough to watch. It's tough to be like, oh, I guess I really can't be a pro racer anymore because everybody my age is starting to retire. So it's
that's crazy. It is, man.
It speaks a lot about
pro
the sport.
Young.
Yeah, and I mean it is hard for me. Like I go, that's my thing when I'm working out or whatever. Is I like to go back and watch old videos, and it's like I want to say it was like 2018. Tomac's on the Cowie. He's rocking the number one. It pops up, and he's 26 years old, which is my age, and it's like, dude. Even now, I can't look at him and say that guy's my age right now. Like that guy has got to be in his 30s at least. Like he's a grown ass man. And it's like I go back to 2002, 2003, and I look at Ricky and Chad, and I'm like, Those are grown ass men. There is in those videos. What? Yeah. And then I'm like, I look now and I'm like, he doesn't have any fucking facial hair. These are kids. And it's just, it's so crazy. I mean, like, I was watching 01 today, Unadilla, and Pastrana gets the first moto win. And just baby faced as could be.
That's his last win.
I think the second moto is when he gets that big kicker and just.
Yeah. And then he goes to Washougal the following weekend and he goes like DN, he goes like 10 DNF.
Yeah.
So then they go to Millville and he tries to ride Millville and he gets like lightheaded and ends up having to pull out a moto one and that's it.
Yeah, it was
like we never really see, like, he obviously raced some more races after that, but like we never got
to
see.
He did a couple of things, nothing really big, but
O2 Supercross season, like the first three rounds wasn't terrible.
Yeah, and then, no. I love Travis's racing career and stuff like that. I was telling you before we started that I got to find one of his old school chest protectors. I'm bringing it back.
The HRP. Those are hard to find with the chrome.
Yes, they look good though. The Thor had one that wasn't quite full chrome; it was more like silver. It had like some flashy spots on it. But
remember the No Fear one that had the chrome shoulders?
Yeah, it's available at Forever 21.
Oh my god! Stop it!
It's on the clearance rack.
Yeah, but, I would pick
all
up
right.
Two.
It's time for the vented plate. Let it out, vent session.
Let it out.
Look, mine's pretty quick. Okay, it's one of those deals where I you know, I'll admit it. I work out. All right. Brad, you work out.
I do.
You know, pretty regularly. But for me, if you are not a professional athlete, if you're not involved in the fitness industry, like our boys over at First Form, they get a pass on this one. If you are an influencer, which I guess is a hard thing to define.
Yeah.
Maybe I get
gray area there.
But look, I don't need to see your workout every day. Like, I don't, and beyond that, it's like, it's almost just the look at me type factor to it. Like, it's like, I get it. Like, riders and stuff, they need to post that stuff to show sponsors and everybody, oh, I'm serious. You know, if you're not posting this, but you're posting that, you don't get taken seriously. But it's like, if you're just some average Joe and you're posting every morning telling me or all of your followers that you need to, you know, to get up out of bed and you need to do this and you need to do that. And I don't know. For me, it's just like,
to me, when I see that, I just see like someone who needs to have that like self-talk. Like, they're not really telling themselves, you need to go out and do this. They're almost keeping themselves accountable that way.
Yeah, and I have. I know several people where they've either, you know, posted about the start of their struggle or the start of their journey on their Instagram or whatever. And it's like, you know, Jocko Willink, everybody knows I'm a big fan of his. He posts the watch like every morning at 4:30. Hey, I'm out here. You know, I'm getting it in. But it's, I don't know. To me, there are tasteful ways to do it. Yeah. I don't think you need to be in the center of all of it. You know, whatever.
You don't like when I post my runs?
You post your runs, like even the video you posted of skipping rope. Like, it's not you with your shirt off, looking at the camera, getting all intimate with it. It's you got a hoodie on, the hood's up, you're jumping rope. I was impressed how long you went. Like, you know, it's like, hey, I'm doing work. Like, or even when you just post, like the sweat on the ground or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to post something about it, that's cool. But to me, I agree. It's like, at some point, how much of this is actually about promoting fitness or positivity or whatever, and how much of this is you just looking for a pat on the back, you know?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's like, if you're working out to be healthy and to be in shape and stuff like that, good on you. I'm all about body positivity and stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know. I just think there's a line where, hey, good for them starts to be like kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. So that's my rant. It's not a huge one. Mini rant, we also need to bring concrete starts back. All right, I said what I had to say.
Fair enough. I'd go with concrete over the greats. I'm not a big fan of the greats.
I love them. I love them.
You like the greats?
No. Concrete. I like concrete starts. I've never done a start on a great, so I'd like to try it. It's funny, I was talking World Mini. Actually, World Mini has a very, very unique start. Gary Bruff is the only rider or the track that I know at Mesquite where it is greats on top of concrete. So you might think, okay, well, how does that affect anything? Is that, well, the great is all behind the starting gate. But if you remember, most of your concrete starts have that little foot to foot and a half period after the starting gate that are concrete.
Mm-hmm.
At Mesquite, they are still just concrete. There is not a secondary piece of grading. So not that that really affects a ton, but I did think that was interesting because it's like for me on a concrete start, like I've got one setting on my start device when I had a start device. So like I'm still setting it, but I'm sitting further back.
Yeah, it's neutral.
Back. But on the grates, like these guys are cranking down even harder on the start device.
It's insane how low they have the front ends.
Oh my gosh. It's nuts. And so, but then it's like you do that, but so you get all of this drive and then you hit the concrete for a second and then you hit the dirt. Definitely a little weird. So, but I like it. North Carolina Motorsports Park up here near me are one of the only places that still has a concrete start, and they are home to the Youth Southeast Regional this, not this weekend, but it's actually the same weekend I'll be out in Nebraska. So 2 weekends away, and you would be amazed how many top level kids, because I was there last year for their area qualifier. Some of the biggest names from Florida and stuff like that show up, and that start screws them every time because they haven't practiced concrete starts. They're not used to it. So there's a couple of local boys, Ryder Crute name that comes to mind. Ooh. And dude, that is a whole shot in mofo. All right. The rest of the race.
His name's Ryder Crew.
Ryder Crute.
C-R-U-T. I'm like, Ryder Crew might be like the coolest name in sports.
Yeah, now his brother's name's Motley. Yeah,
amazing.
What are you upset about, Brad? What do you need to get off your chest?
Okay, let's see. Sprung that on me. I was about to make a comment on what you were talking about, then now I've lost it.
People are tired of hearing me talking, dude. They can
perfect.
There's
yeah,
like four
okay,
different series they can hear me talk.
You know what I get tired of, or I'm going to rant. I don't know if I've mentioned this one before, but when it comes down to business and professionalism and sales, especially in sales, like have the common decency to give somebody a proper no. Like all too often in not only this industry, but in a lot of industries, but I think motocross is probably the biggest culprit of this, is that you don't find out that the answer's no, you just never hear from that person ever again. Like, dude, it just comes down to like a respect thing.
Yeah, almost like the way of the world nowadays, though. Like you think about it, and it's funny. I remember back in college, there was actually a thing that they talked about with this, where we are, especially nowadays, we're so accustomed to selective communication. Whereas if you text me and I really don't fucking feel like talking to you, I don't respond. Oh, I didn't see your message. Sorry. Like it's so easy to not only do that, but then also to be able to type out this response. If you say something that pisses me off or vice versa, and it's like you have the ability to type out what you want to say, delete it, type out what you probably should say, then edit it so it's got a little bit of both in it. Like you get to custom tailor fit exactly what gets said all the time. It happens in relationships. It happens in friendships. It happens in business relationships. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like now so many people are scared of the potential for conflict and confrontation. And it's almost like people are scared to upset people for like – it's like let's say your upset scales at a 1 to 10.
Sure.
And it's like, if I told you like, hey, Brad, you know, I'm not going to be able to do the power hour anymore. I really hate it, but it is what it is. You'd maybe be at a, let's say a 5 or a 6 for a day.
Yeah.
But then it's like, hey, you know, it is what it is. He's busy, blah, 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 blah. He came to me straight up and told me how it is.
I'd be more pissed if I was like, I was texting you saying, hey, when can we do the podcast?
Yo, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm just getting Zoom requests and I'm just sitting there. Say so I'm just not gonna say anything, and then it's like now that one day of kind of irked off, and then we can still, you know, communicate with, hey, let's figure something else out, now has turned into essentially 2 to 3 weeks of like, is he out, is he done, blah 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 blah, and then finally it doesn't you don't even get an answer to me. I just annoy you to the point to where you fire me, essentially, where it's like, oh, now you're kicked off of the power hour. You're pissed off. You got a bad taste in your mouth about me moving forward. So I agree. I think it's done the wrong way. I think, especially nowadays with like your sponsorships,
right.
I think kids are bad about it. Like, and kids don't realize that stuff can follow them, especially if they are successful. If it's like, dude, you know, you get this gear company to send you X amount of sets of gear. And hey, maybe it didn't fit quite like you like it, or this other brand that you really like said, hey, we're going to send you two sets of gear instead of six sets of gear. Like that's it. But you really like these guys. And then you show up at the next race in those guys' gear instead of the people that originally tried to help you out. It's like, man, A, you never know in this sport where your career is going to go. B, like why put a bad taste in people's mouth? Why stab people in the back or whatever when it's like, it's such a small world on the grand scheme of things. Like, dude, all going to run into one another once again. We're all, you know, a lot of the companies that have been around have been around. Like, it's like,
and you know, the press box is small, or the races are small. So, it's a small community. People talk.
Yeah. And so I agree. I definitely agree with where you're at. And especially like, cause you're what, how old?
35.
So my generation and then the generation that I'm seeing below me is even worse about it, man. It's like,
I've even like met with like people older that like,
oh yeah, yeah, like, yeah, it goes all the way down the line.
I send the proposal, hey, this is what I'd like to do. All right. And they're like, okay, we'll let you know what we think.
Yeah. We'll let you know. Let me just
typical practice. You reach out again in say 2 weeks. Hey, just following up to see if there's any decisions being made there. And then you get the radio silence.
Yeah.
And then like, that's how you know it's a no. But you still have to wait another 2 weeks from them not getting back to you. Be like, I'm not hearing.
Well, and I am the first to admit, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But like, I start to get annoyed and I'll call them out. Like, I'll be like, hey, look, I'm going to bug you every week until you give me an answer. So if you give me the answer that I don't want now, you'll save yourself a lot of time.
100%.
And all of a sudden it's like, ding, wow, we're responding before I've even finished sending the text. But it's like,
how did it deliver that fast?
Yeah, exactly. Like they think they're just going to be able to kind of blow you off, and I'm like, dude, I am the squeaky wheel that's going to get the grease, or I'm going to pop off and wreck this whole car. So you know, like it's up to you, realistically. So no, definitely a worthy vent and a worthy rant there, because let's talk about the flip side. You can be maybe a little lesser, whether it's rider or whatever, and if you have intimate and positive relationships with the people that help you, you would be amazed what those people would be willing to do and how much they would be willing to help you. If you came to those people and you were, let's go back to the other example, and you came to that original gear company and explained everything to them, there's a chance that they may say, hey, contract's contract, it is what it is. But you'd be amazed. Some of those companies are willing to say, hey, look, man, I wish it worked out the other way, but you know what? We're going to do you a solid. You came to us straight up about it. We're going to let you out. You know, you can go try things out with them. And if it doesn't work out, our door's always open.
100%. It's like, it comes down to like clean lines of communication. I'll give you a perfect example. Is I help out a couple of kids locally, Jackson Weeb, Jagger Wall. And I help them out with some sponsorships. Cole over at Fast Company, he was generous enough to offer handlebars and foot pegs for both Jackson and Jagger. And he's, like that stuff should be in the mail this week. But like the communication that I didn't get from Jackson is that he had sent a resume to Mika Metals and that they had offered him a sponsorship, which obviously that's a direct competitor of Fast Company, although they do make different, obviously the kid's 13 years old. He's proud that he just got himself a sponsorship. And he's like kind of sheepishly like, I'm also like, is it cool if I run the Mika bus? I'm like, dude, you worked for that sponsorship. Like it is what it is. Like, and I was straight up with Cole. I'm like, hey man, the kid's super, like, he's really proud that he got himself a sponsorship. He's going to run the Mika bars. Hope everything's cool. And he's like, worries at all. Like whatever we can do to help Jackson going forward. If he wants to run the bars next year on his 250F when he graduates to it, whatever, we're here for him.
And that's what I mean.
The other side of that coin is Jackson receives the bars from like the Flex bars, which they're sponsors of the podcast. They're great stuff. Like there's tons of guys all over the world that run these handlebars, especially in the woods.
Yeah, I was about to say they're popular in the woods.
Yeah, very popular in the woods. And like, he accepts the bars. They stay in the garage. They never see the light of day. And the next post that Cole sees of Jackson, he's got the Mika bars on there.
Yep.
And tags them. Like, just like, you know, like, well, you know, that's a great way to burn a bridge.
Those guys are looking too. Like, oh, I sure guarantee you, it's, and as they should be, because it's like, hey man, that like, and so many people, I think nowadays, like, they take for granted, oh, he's just sending me a set of bars. Dude, that's a set of bars. Do you know how many thousands of people would love to get a free set of handlebars sent to them? And it's like, I think that's a lot of it too, is almost the arrogance and the spoiledness of some of the faster riders, is they think that they're too good for this company, or they're not, this company's not worthy of me running their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's again, so much could be done with just communication. So I don't know, man. It's I'm communicating to you right now that I appreciate you, brother. So
hey, I appreciate you making some time for the podcast. You got to watch on.
Absolutely, man.
Because I made a direct message to Rich over at Rockwell. You're wearing the shirt. I don't think that we're a Ethica podcast, although they do get a lot of love from you. Do you wear Ethicas aside from the hats?
I mean, I'll stand up and show you. I've got the Young Money's on right now, dude.
Oh,
I'm telling you. Okay. Yeah. All right. My groin has not touched anything other than a pair of Ethicas in years. All right.
Fair enough.
Let me just say it. All right.
Well, so, we dug deep on that with like, when we went to Loretta's last year, we literally found like a box of the Loretta's underwears. And yeah. I think I took home like 10 pairs.
Dude, I'm superstitious about it. I wear my GNCC Ethicas every Sunday at the GNCCs. I wear my Loretta's Ethicas at Loretta. Like, I've got it down. I've also now started to get to the point to where it's like,
you have underwear location specific.
Yes, I have also worn through a couple pair at this point. So it's like, you know, had to toss a couple of the extra breezy pair out. But no, I do like them. I love them a bunch.
You mistrusted some gas station sushi. I get you.
Yeah, well, it happens to the best of us. But yeah, man, it's cool. Rockwell doing a great job. I don't actually have my Coliseum on right now, but that is the watch of choice. We've got the Phantom Black, which is what we've been rocking. And then my dad, I stole it from him. I say he gave it to me, but he didn't. I stole it from him. He's got a royal blue and white Coliseum watch that is going to match oh so nicely with my brand new jean apparel that they gave us. So, yeah, great stuff going on from them. The sport watches are awesome, especially now that I'm flying between time zones. They've got the dual time zone capability, so I can literally click, and it's like, if I can't do simple math, it's like, oh, okay, well, it's this time actually where, you know, my family's at. So, great stuff going on from them. Big shout out to Rich, because seriously, I loved it to begin with. I had dad's old one, and the new one is actually even better. It's got a couple of different features from the old version. Uh-huh. And so, huge fan of the Coliseum, but their other like more prestigious lines, if you will.
Yeah.
Dude, those things look good. Like, they look really good.
They're quality. They got that scratch resistance cover, like a face on there. And it's really high quality stuff. So thanks for all the support from Rockwell and Race Tech and Moto Coatings Company, Guts Racing, you name it. Backyard Design. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably need some new graphics for your dirt bike, and you can save 24% with BigMX24 at checkout. They also have on the website, you'll probably be offered 25%. I think like literally it's like BYD25 if you want to get an extra percent off. On that, which is probably why the Big MX Radio code doesn't like perform as well as it probably should. Thanks, guys.
Just 1% too low.
Yeah, but I don't fully understand that, but either way, those guys are amazing. RXR Protect, I love those chest protectors. They signed Cody Shock. There's a little bird that told me that RJ Hampshire might be wearing them for the outdoors, which is like, hey, who doesn't need a chest protector more than RJ Hampshire? That guy hits the deck sometimes.
Like, yeah, I mean, we want to find out what it's worth. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. That's product testing right there. That's research and development. I love you, RJ. But this has been fun. It always is fun. This is a Big MX Radio podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the show again, Zach. And we'll be back in 1 week's time for another one of these.
Cool deal, buddy. I'll see you then.
All right. Cheers.
Best 42 in the land, all ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Pit bikes and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to